My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right. So by the time you listen to this, we will be out at OTAs for the Bills' second week of OTAs, as they have 2 out of 3 now completed. And then after that, we've got mandatory minicamp and then some time off before training camp. But we will be headlined at OTAs in week 2 with Joe Brady. And I believe, Sal, correct me if I'm wrong, this will be the first time we have spoken to him since he was named offensive coordinator and the interim tag was removed, right? We haven't talked to him since then.
Haven't talked to him since the meet as a mass media. Correct. I did see him, catch up with him, talk to him a bit at the combine. I saw him, but it was just hey, how you doing? How are things going? But yes, it's first time on the record anybody's actually talked to him in a scrum or anything like that.
Yeah. So a lot of people, I think, are going to be wondering, hey, Joe, congrats on the job. What do you think the offense is supposed to look like? What do you think that you want the offense to look like? Was last year's, once he took over, was that what you think the offense needs to be, or is that what you could realistically turn it into given all of the work Ken Dorsey had already done? And that's what I think is a really interesting part of the season, not even just from a personnel standpoint, because the personnel is going to be completely, especially offensively, after watching practice last week at OTAs. It is just so weird being out there and watching this team, and almost every weapon is somebody different. But what do you want? What's your balance? What are you going to try and do? What are you going to try and avoid? What do you want to try and take to the next level? So he's got a lot of questions that I'm sure he's going to be answered, and I'm interested in what he has to say.
I agree with you. And from the outside looking in, based on the personnel, the roster, you say the roster is going to look a lot different. Yes. And I think that might be a little bit by design as well. Now, of course, they did trade Stephon Diggs. That was an active, decision they made. Gabe Davis went somewhere else in free agency. And of course, maybe the Bills could have kept him, couldn't have, whatever. They could have offered him more money. But, as opposed to some other people and reasons, they also, had a lot of changes on the defensive side. But offensively, specifically, they released Mitch Morse. And that's their decision to do that. And then move Connor McGovern to center. I think what the Bills are doing here, and I suspect Joe Brady will answer something like this. I don't know. He'll tell us, and I do think this is right, that they're trying to build an offense that they can attack from all different spots in the field with any of their players, and you don't really know which one is going to be doing what. If you take a look, Matt, at the skill set of the offensive skill players, they're all so versatile, and it's always been important for the Bills to have versatility. We know that. Mm-hmm. But I think this has taken it to a new level. We're talking about receivers who have lined up in the backfield quite a bit in their NFL careers, like Curtis Samuel, or taken, the ball and handoffs, or just gotten it on short little screens. We're talking about guys that they brought in at wide receiver, you know, undrafted free agent. They got the kid from Ohio State who actually was a running back at Ohio State, but he's a wide receiver, you know, in the NFL. We're talking about Keon Coleman, who obviously has a bit of a different skill set than what they've had over the last few years. Look at Khalil Shakir and what he does. And then of course, Dalton Kincaid, and he can be really more of a slot receiver than he is a tight end. And then James Cook, who can line up out wide. How about Ray Davis? The list goes on. I think they're building an offense where they want to just put guys in any spot on the field where every week you're the defensive coordinator and you say, I don't know where they're going to line up, but we better be prepared for all of it.
Yeah, I think the mantra for this year with the Bills, if they have success, is if one of us eats, everybody eats. And I think that's going to be the way the Bills offense looks, to the point that you said. The skill sets that they have added in, while I still think that they will absolutely miss having a bona fide legit number one, I think that everybody has a little bit of a skill set that can kind of be their specialty. But then there's also guys who can do a little bit of everything. So for me, like, Dalton Kincaid is going to have a monster season. He's going to lead the team in targets. He's going to lead the team in catches. He's going to be really, really elite. But then after that, I look at Ray Davis addition as like a, hey, you haven't been able to execute a screen pass in years. He is going to be the guy who's going to execute screen passes, and then he'll give you some nice depth behind James Cook. I look at MVS, even though he hasn't made the team yet, is, hey, dude, I know you've had struggles with catching the ball, but you're fast and you're tall. You're just going to run down the field, and we're going to take two or three shots at you every single game, one, to keep a defense honest, and two, maybe we hit on them. I think of Khalil Shakir, more as a hybrid of, like, because he can play both spots. He can play inside, he can play outside. I think they'll use him a little bit like they used Cole Beasley, but then they'll also use him a little bit on the outside like they've used some players in the past. And then Curtis Samuel is like nobody they've had in years past. I think when they signed Curtis Samuel, the comparison I made was Percy Harvin. I know that Percy Harvin was like Curtis Samuel on just like full go. But I think Curtis Samuel is going to be a really big
Curtis Samuel with a turbo button.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel with a turbo button, but the numbers are like oddly similar. So Curtis Samuel is going from playing with some not great quarterbacks to somebody who I think is the second best guy in the league. So I'm not as concerned about the offense as maybe some people are. I don't think it's going to be as good, but I think it's going to look a lot like it did when Joe Brady took over in the second half of last year.
Yeah, I mean, Mark David F. Reich comeback on X asked us, would you agree with Dan Orlovsky that too many people are sleeping on the Bills offense? Because that's what Dan wrote. And this goes to your point, which is, I think it is, it's not even necessarily sleeping, right? Sleeping means like, well, they're going to be a lot better than people expect, which is fine. And maybe, and I do agree to that to a point, but I've said, look, they have Josh Allen. If you don't expect the Bills still to be really good on offense, I don't know what you're doing, because they still have Josh Allen. What I do think people are sleeping on is just what the Bills are trying to do intentionally. To me, they're intentionally, I don't know if it's going to work. I think because they have Josh Allen, it should work in some capacity. I think they're trying intentionally just to have this really new, different approach that we haven't seen yet, which is, we're going to come at you in waves. We're going to come at you in numbers. We're going to come at you by volume. We're going to come at you by committee. And I don't know if it's going to work. You said it, and I agree with you. Not having a number one is very concerning to me, Matt. It really is. But I'm really interested in how they're going to try and do this with all of these people. Look, last year when Joe Brady took over, a lot of the talk was the decline in production, the targets for Stephon Diggs. Well, with that decline in production and targets came a really steep incline in touches and everything for James Cook. And I think that, like, that's what they're trying to do, create this offense where it's not James Cook necessarily centric running the ball, but that's the kind of guy they want who can do everything for them.
Here's what they need to figure out. And I don't know the answer to this right now. I don't think anybody knows the answer to this right now. Defenses play you different when you have a number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Even if you think Stephon Diggs slipped up a little bit at the end of the season, I still think he's a really good player. Even if you think that he slipped off a little bit, teams were accounting for him, and he was the biggest concern besides Josh Allen. Do the Bills, now that they have multiple guys who are better than their secondary options that they've had in the years past, what is harder to game plan against? Multiple options and secondary pieces where we can hit you a lot of different ways, or a bona fide stud? You would love to have both, right? If this was the Bills team with Stephon Diggs, I think we would be sitting here going like, this is maybe the most talented group they've ever had. But there's a really big void there without Stefon. There's a really big void there without Stefon Diggs. Yeah. So I don't know how teams are going to play them. They will need somebody to step up. I think it's unrealistic for anybody that they currently have to even come close to the production of what Stefon Diggs did for them. But at the same time, they had success without really Stefon Diggs contributing once Joe Brady took over last year. And I don't know how much of that will change when he's not here. So I don't know.
I think it's so fascinating to think of it that way. What you said, which you're right. You get one, that one player and it goes from, oh my God, like who's stopping this offense, to not having him and going, oh my God, I can't believe what are they doing to the offense? It's that one player, right? Which just tells you though, that the rest of the parts are still pretty darn good. And then we'll see about guys like Keon Coleman and how they can fit in. What, you know, what would Marquez Valdes-Scantling be? What is he going to be? I should say. And what is it? Can, does Chase Claypool have something? If they get one of those guys, just one of those guys to hit and be pretty good, I mean, then we might be talking about something here. I think there are some interesting questions along the O-line, which we'll also continue to address as far as the offense is concerned throughout the week. OTA is on Tuesday. Make sure you're following Matt and listening along and watching along WKBW TV and me on WGR Sports Radio 550 Tuesday. The Bills will be back out at OTAs. All right, let's go to your, could call it a tweet stack, but it's not even Twitter anymore. So you're
an X
your,
stack.
Your, yeah, there you go. Your X stack, your questions on social media.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.